less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive.
Today, we podcast about Independence Day. Oh my god, that cut off really quickly. Hello everybody, welcome back to Poster Recaps Date Night number 2. I'm Josh Wigler, welcoming you to Earth and also welcoming back my wife, my best friend in the world, this side of Antonio Mazzaro, Emily Fox. How are you?
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Happy July 1st. Let's not be liars here.
July 1st.
It is July 1st. It is July 1st. We are recording our second episode of Date Night, which was supposed to be a podcast about a movie starring Mark Wahlberg, but it's not. We screwed up.
Yeah, we did.
That's really my fault. It's not Emily's fault, actually.
Well, it's really hard to schedule a date nowadays.
We were planning on, we'll just spoil it because we're going to podcast about it in the future. We're going to be podcasting about fear at some point soon.
Yes.
You're going to hear a lot of this.
My chest is pounding just thinking about it.
My heart is beating out of my chest. We've been really excited to get to that, but there have been some scheduling conflicts on my end, not just in terms of podcast land, but I've been away. I've been traveling.
It makes it really awkward because I carved into my chest Josh Forever.
Josh Forever.
And I wanted it to be a surprise, and then you canceled the date, and then it was like really uncomfortable surprise.
Well, I mean, it's not like you can get that removed easily anyway.
No, I can't.
You're going to have a really complicated procedure for that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I hope that you're happy with the tattoo, regardless of the fact that we haven't podcasted about that. But it'll come in handy.
It's an IOU, really.
It's an IOU. And I owe you, all of you, and Emily, we all owe you a fear podcast in the near future. I swear it's going to be really good when it finally comes. When we finally get to the fear podcast, Nicole, I swear I'm going to love you forever. It's going to be really good when we get to it. Emily and I both really, really love fear. That's where we were going when we closed out Cruel Intentions with Reese Witherspoon. Basically, this whole thing, we had an elaborate plan.
We really did.
We really did. We had an elaborate plan where we were going to get from Reese Witherspoon. That sounds like a Harry Potter character. We were going to go from Reese Witherspoon in Cruel Intentions to Mark Wahlberg in Fear to, we were going to follow Amy Brenneman from Fear, who is the mother or the stepmother in Fear.
Stepmom from Fear.
Who is also the dead mother in Casper. And we were going to get from her with Bill Pullman to Independence Day. We had this elaborate roadmap planned. I screwed it up with my scheduling. I apologize to everybody. So we're just here at Independence Day, and we're not dropping the ball on Independence Day.
No.
So we're not yada-yadaing through the best part, because I do think when we get to Fear, it's going to be the best part.
Right.
I do think Casper is dead.
Perhaps.
Which is hard to do because Casper is already a ghost. But I don't expect we're going to be podcasting about Casper. Although, Emily, I don't remember which podcast it was, but on one of these post-show recaps podcasts recently, I recall making Devon Sawa jokes. I think it's on one of the True Detective podcasts.
Oh, well, no. See, here's the thing. If you're going to do any sort of podcast that has, like, a Christina Ricci, like, sort of reference in it, I want Devon Sawa to be there, too, which overlaps into Now and Then, which is one of my favorite sort of like prepubescent movies to ever watch ever. So anyone who's our age would so appreciate that. So there's sort of like this Devon Sawa, Christina Ricci, like great, I don't even know what to call it, chemistry in sort of the like early
legacy.
Late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I feel like needs to be touched upon in some way. Maybe we get to Now and Then eventually, although I feel like you're really not going to care about that.
I like Now and Then.
Really?
Yeah, I was always fascinated that Christina Ricci grows up to be Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to chart the evolution of that and go back now that I know movies a little bit better than I did when I saw Now and Then the first time. I'd like to be like, what are the clues that takes Christina Ricci to Rosie O'Donnell?
I mean, I was always intrigued by the fact that you could put pudding in balloons and pretend that they were boobs.
That's right. I forgot about that trick. Yeah. Doesn't somebody also, like, tape down their boobs at one point?
That's Christina Ricci's
character.
That's
Christina Ricci's. Anyway, yeah. We are wildly off track at this point. Maybe one of these days we'll get to Now and Then. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day. If this is your first time listening to one of the Date Night podcasts, very possible, then this is all a bunch of rambling that makes no sense to you. This is what we do here. Emily Fox is my wife. She is awesome. We started podcasting together during 50 Shades of Grey mania back in February. We decided we wanted to do some more podcasts together. We started with a podcast about Cruel Intentions. We're just talking about some of our favorite movies, sometimes educating each other in movies we haven't seen before, just talking to you guys about some nostalgia-driven movies, and ideally trying to find ways to connect the movies together. That's how we were going to leapfrog our way here to Independence Day. Instead, we're just cutting through to Independence Day, which we have just finished watching.
Yes.
And so that's basically the deal, and we will figure out where we go from here. I think we'll just go right back to Fear and pretend that this never happened, and we will follow Mark Wahlberg on a different path when we finally get to Fear.
Yeah, no, there's still some excellent roads
travel down. Well, now that we can follow Mark Wahlberg, the world is our oyster. But today, let's focus on Independence Day. It is 4th of July weekend. As you guys are listening to this, we are recording this on July 1st, which in the universe of Independence Day, July 1st, 1996 is the last normal night on Earth.
That's right, because you wake up on July 2nd and
shit happens.
Yeah.
It gets terrible. It's just a really, really bad day for everybody.
Yeah.
I actually think, though, that July 2nd is the best day of the movie.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think it's close.
We're still learning. We don't really know. There isn't
that much. The saucers are arriving. Yeah. We get the REM. We get the end of the world as we know it, which is always a highlight of the movie.
There are a few dudes at NASA that are real pumped up.
Harvey Firestein is only alive for July 2nd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he dies on July 2nd. That's when everybody dies. That's when the saucers blow everybody to death.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot worse than what I meant. I meant blow everybody away to death.
Yeah.
That got really awkward.
Okay, no, don't dwell on it.
Okay.
Okay, if we're going back to Harvey Firestein, really, for sure, he's one of the most important characters in the film in terms of your enjoyment of the film.
My enjoyment?
Yes.
Mine specifically.
Mine, yours, and everyone else's.
The royal yours.
Yeah, if we're going to be watching this film, one of the most important things to do before you flag any other sort of plot development is to make sure he's there, make sure you're aware of what he's doing, because every time he says David, you should take a drink. And that preps you for the rest of the movie.
So what's the rest of the game after that? Because he dies in like the first 40 minutes of the movie.
The rest of the game is being like nicely sloshed and watching the movie and enjoying it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because he says David.
Is that why you're
so
wasted right now?
Yeah.
That's why you're just shit-faced right now. Oh no, that's a good game. I like that. David.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I better call my lawyer. Yeah. I'll forget my lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Harvey Firestein.
Yeah.
He's terrific in this. There's lots of great characters
in
this
movie. Yeah, but let's set the stage. I'm sorry. I just really wanted to get everyone well lubricated for what we were going to say after.
Oh, now you're saying, there's so many things that are so weird about what we've done already.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay. You're forgiven.
You
I forgive
take
you.
Me anywhere.
No, I can take you everywhere. All right, so let's talk about what we've got going on here in Independence Day. Independence Day premieres in theaters July 2nd, 1996. So we are almost recording this on the 19-year anniversary.
Which is insane.
We're 1 year shy of the 20th anniversary. And by this time next year, not only will 20 years have passed since Independence Day was released, but Independence Day 2 will finally be in theaters.
That's right.
A long, long ride for Independence Day 2. Of all the movies that end up becoming franchise movies with sequels and everything, I am surprised that it took so long for this to happen for Independence Day.
They played the long game on this.
Will Smith is continuing to play the long game. As of this recording, he's not involved in the sequel. You knew this, I think.
Oh, that's a poor decision.
Did you not know that?
No,
he's not in it.
Basically, are they going to put Jaden in? Because that's
No. Jaden Smith is not in it. Okay. Will Smith is not in it. Bill Pullman is back. We'll get Jeff Goldblum back. Judd Hirsch is back as well. We'd all be dead now if it wasn't for David's father.
You had me at Jeff Goldblum.
I know. We had everybody at Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. Jeff Goldblum had everybody at Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
So a year from now, perhaps we will be talking talking about Independence Day 2. We will even be talking about Independence Day 2 a little bit probably in this podcast, as we already have, but we can do some speculating as well.
Absolutely.
But Independence Day 1, summer 1996, formative summer for me, Emily Fox. This is my first summer at sleepaway camp, which Emily knows is a very big deal in my life.
I can't even begin to tell you how important it is to you.
Like, it's a very big deal.
Yeah.
I attended sleepaway camp for 12 summers, which sounds awkward and long for someone who was 11 years old at the time that he started.
I went.
I started as an 11-year-old. I was a camper for 5 years, and then I was a counselor for 7 years. Very, very fun time. I was very disappointed. It was my first summer at camp, the summer that Independence Day came out. I was depressed that I was going to be missing Independence Day in theaters due to circumstances we won't even bother getting into here on the podcast. I was actually allowed to go home at one point during the summer, and I got to see Independence Day, and I became the cool kid when I returned back to camp.
Wow.
That I was able to give everybody the scoop on Independence Day. I loved the movie, huge fan when it came out, huge fan to this day.
See, I was sort of the opposite of the spectrum, where my family was not into seeing movies together in theaters.
Still
to this day.
And you as well, still to this day, are not really into seeing movies.
We didn't grow up in that world where, like, it was go to the movie theater on Saturday. I did it with my friends when I was a teenager, but it was never a family event.
Right.
Although my best friend, who still is my best friend to this day, went with her whole family to see ID4 after church on a Saturday, because they used to go to church, or they still do. They go to church on Saturday.
You pregame ID4 with church.
Well, they went to church on Saturday, and then they go and get dinner together and then see a movie sometimes. So they went to see it. And I remember...
Did you tag along?
No. Okay. I remember wanting to hang out with her that Saturday, and she wasn't getting back to me. And I, like, she just went, you know, radio silent for the rest of the night. And the next day, I found out she went and saw ID4. And I was like, oh, that looks really cool. I wish my parents were cool and took me to that. Because I think it was, like, PG-13, and, like, I wasn't quite old enough to go see it. So...
You're a mystery to me, Emily Fox, because... You're not, and I don't think I'm outing you here. I think you'll own this. You're not nerdy into sci-fi necessarily, or fantasy, or any sort of genre show or movie or anything like this. You grew up, you raised chickens. We've covered this on Date Night before. You were into violin, all of this stuff. You were an athlete. You played soccer.
I wasn't a very
you weren't a very. I'm not. I never accused you of being a good soccer player, but you played soccer.
Right.
You come from from stock that's less interested in movies and fantasy and fiction and more interested in reality. But yet you thought Independence Day was cool in 1996.
Let me break it down. This is when summer blockbusters were king.
Yeah.
This is when this was like the ultimate thing you could do in the summer.
This is pre-Titanic. I think Titanic, I'm looking it up just to make sure. Yeah, Titanic, yeah. 1997.
Yeah. But this is when I was really starting to notice the movie trends and really enjoying what I saw on the big screen when I did get a chance to go see stuff. But Independence Day, you know, already held a lot of weight with the fact that Will Smith was in it, because I am a huge Fresh Prince fan.
Yeah, can we talk? Can
it's
we stop
not
that?
Even funny.
Yeah, let's stop down and talk about that. Lay it out for people, because even I'm still appreciating how big of a Fresh Prince fan you are.
You could put any episode on in front of me, and I will tell you exactly what it's about, exactly what happens, some of the funny tidbits and the taglines that come from it, maybe if Jazz gets thrown out of the front door or not.
We were watching TV before we went to sleep last week,
yeah,
and an episode of Fresh Prince came on, and immediately you knew it was the pilot episode.
Well, yeah, because the opening segment is longer than the other ones.
Right. But then, after that episode, you knew that it was going to be the episode where DJ Jazzy Jeff gets thrown out of the house in an iconic toss.
For the first time, it's the second episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have the whole box set, thanks to my very good friend Lee McLaren, who gave it to me a couple of years ago as a gift, which I almost don't even need because I know it all anyway. It's not even funny. It's one of my favorite.
Also, you don't need it because it's on television at all hours of the
which
day.
Which I respect tremendously. I mean, I always say if you had asked me when I was younger if I would still be watching Fresh Prince when I'm 30 years old, I would have told you yes, and I'm very happy to report that I still am.
Okay, very good.
Not even difficult to get in touch with.
All right, young Emily Fox, you are in good hands in the future.
Yes.
If you can hear this back through our frequency-inspired time travel device.
Yes.
Do you know the movie Frequency?
Yeah.
We'll get to it at some point. You don't like Jim Caviezel very much.
I don't really know too much about Jim Caviezel.
You're a Dennis Quaid fan, though.
Yes,
I am. He is in that, and you'll like the movie.
Fair enough. We can make our way there, then.
Good movie. But no, you were a Will Smith fan, so that was one. You were starting to catch the whiff of the summer blockbuster. What else? Yeah. What else about Independence Day reached out and grabbed you?
Well, it was just the kind of thing where, like, everyone was talking about it. It was this huge monumental thing. The special effects were amazing. We had people saying to us, you know, this is like Star Wars. And I was always like, oh, my parents always make me watch Star Wars in bits and pieces. And I don't know if I'm totally into this.
You've still never seen Star Wars all the way through.
Well, you know why? Because there used to be these Sunday afternoon, like, watch fests where my parents would binge all the movies. And I respect them for it, and I get it, and I respect you for it. I respect everyone for it. But when you're like an 8-year-old kid that's like, can we please go do something? And they would be like, no, we're going to do this instead. And I would be like, oh, my parents are such nerds. Like, everyone has that moment. And that's unfortunately where the cards fell.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll fix that at some point.
I don't want to have to apologize for it because I know everyone else comes from something like that in their lives.
No apologies. A prominent.
Purposely embarrassed by their parents.
no apologies needed. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
So you were getting Star Wars vibes from this. So this was that worrying you? You didn't like that. That's a bad connotation.
No, but there was sort of this epic understanding that this was sort of paving the way for special effects. And I think their PR team or whatever had done a really fantastic job at promoting it, because you're just seeing these humongous explosions and really, really impressive stunts. And that was something
that
we didn't
completely
really see.
Totally, 1,000,000% hold up to this day.
Oh yeah, it looks so normal.
It looks
now.
Really great.
Looks
still
really legit now. No, that's actually the starkest, most blunt realization when you're older is to say, like, this was so cutting edge, look how amazing it was, and then you look at it now and you're like, oh
yeah,
why did that fire truck stay completely intact when literally everything else was blown to shreds?
Yeah, well,
right?
The best is when Boomer the dog,
yeah, when a golden retriever is totally
it jumps
fine,
away from the
but
fire,
a bajillion people are killed.
Well, it just looks amazing. That image of the dog jumping to Vivica A. Fox is just iconic.
Listen, it's
in like in both iconic as an image, but iconic in just like how ridiculous
it
looks.
I think a lot of movies suffer from this, but it's sort of selective carnage where they're like, oh, this whole side over here got obliterated and everyone over here is fine except for that one scrape under their eye, but it's
right.
Kind of cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sort of what happens, I think, in cinema in general, but this is like a really great example of like really awesome special effects for the time, but
sure.
Maybe it just sort of breaks.
Oh, it's super endearing though. It's totally fine. You can get past it pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, you're right. It was very cutting edge, and you're also right that it was marketed extremely well.
Yeah.
Everybody knew what it was.
Yeah.
And you know, it wasn't a movie that was coming based on, you know, it wasn't a pre-existing franchise or anything, and it's not starring shockingly A-list people or anything. Bill Pullman's great. Jeff Goldblum coming off of the heels of Jurassic Park. He's got a very established career at this point, but I wouldn't call him super A-list by any stretch at that point. Will Smith, this is his first huge role.
No, this is a trifecta of really excellent actors who you weren't like, oh, of course they cast him. It was more like, oh, this is a really interesting mix. Where are we going with this? Throw in Harry Connick. I mean, come on.
You're a big fan. Harry Connick Jr.
I thought he was great in this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's good. And your mom, you said earlier while we were watching the movie, you said your mom had a crush on him.
Well, my mom thought he was really cute. And I remember she thought that.
I assume she hasn't seen Copycat.
No, absolutely not.
Does she know what it is?
Probably not.
Let's keep that a secret.
Such
from
a creep
her.
In that. No. Yeah. I mean, fast forward. When typical blockbusters came out, the following Christmas, my dad would wrap the VHS up and give it as a gift. That just seemed to be the way that things were, especially if Will Smith was in it, because it was sort of like a foolproof gift.
Yeah.
Which came down to some really awkward moments, like when he gifted iRobot.
iRobot is legendary in the Fox household.
And she opened the gift at Christmas.
I don't think that's opened, the DVD.
No, the DVD. No, it's not even a DVD. It's still a VHS.
And it's hasn't been used.
It's still plastic wrapped.
Yeah.
And she unwrapped it and said, iRobot? And he goes, you love Will Smith. So I think Independence Day sort of like started that tradition of like, Will Smith was in a great movie. Let's wrap it up. Let's give it at Christmas time when we like when it's on sale at wherever,
right?
Like, you know, on Christmas Eve, I'll go buy it that day, wrap it up, and give it on Christmas Day as a gift. So Independence Day was a huge, huge success. And we used to watch the movies that we would get on Christmas Day that afternoon after family left. So Independence Day was one of those movies that we watched together as a family, and it was a household success.
Okay.
So my dad was happy he bought it because it came off as being a really entertaining movie that he could watch.
Is this his type of movie?
Oh my God, yeah. Because he loves watching sort of like
a, taking notes.
He loves watching like a hero movie where everyone like there, you know, there's multiple plots and sort of contexts, but it's really well written and it's really compelling. And then the special effects are great and it's not cheesy and no one's doing any undercover work.
Yeah. He hates Incognito.
Yeah. Really can't.
Mrs. Doubtfire. He's out.
Feels incredibly uncomfortable. Doesn't like the line.
Which we almost followed Harvey Fierstein out of this into Mrs. Doubtfire, but another time.
Another time.
We'll get there.
But yeah, back to my mom, she was really excited to see some of these actors in these roles because they were excellent, you know, and they were very good looking. I mean, I think Jeff Goldblum won her in Jurassic Park, so she was very excited to see
Jeff Goldblum sporting some sweet tank top cleave in this movie.
Beautiful.
Like, the chesticles are on fire.
And let's just be honest, I mean, he had a good plaid work going on over that.
Like, we love plaid on Post Show Recaps.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's in again. So he really sort of looks almost very current at this point.
I remember watching this movie the first time, and also just in my memory, I always thought that it takes a long time for Will Smith to even show up. Captain yeah. Steve Hiller takes a long time. He's got first billing in the movie. You think of him as the hero and everything. He shows up not quite as long as I remember. It's 20 minutes, I think, it yeah. takes for him to show up, but that's still a long time. Did yeah. that? Were you waiting for Will Smith the first time you saw it? I was like, what the hell is this guy?
He's the ribbon on the whole present. I think.
You had a Will Smith ribbon on your VHS tape?
My dad wasn't that good at rapping. No, it was the type of thing where, like, you know, you're building a story and you're seeing all these different angles of who's involved and why they're involved. And it's sort of like working towards the White House and what do we need to do for the president?
Right.
And how do we combat these aliens that are invading? And then Will Smith comes in and you're like, now I see how this works. He's sort of the missing puzzle piece that comes into everything.
Yeah.
That's at least how I feel. It's sort of, I mean, that's me sort of.
Well, like, he's the action star.
And it's me leaning on my Fresh Prince.
It's not just personal bias. He's the action star of the movie. You know, yeah. he's the guy who gets behind the fighter pilot first. He punches an alien in the face. He welcomes him to Earth.
He had so many iconic moments within the trailers that were released. I remember yeah. that very vividly. Yeah. So it only makes
he's
sense.
Chomping cigars, yeah. you know. He's got the hot love interest. He himself is very attractive. I mean, he's the A-list action star, and he wasn't even an A-list guy quite yet, I don't think.
You know,
really. He was famous for...
Bad
you know,
Boys.
Famous for... Is this before or after Bad
this
Boys?
After Bad Boys. Yeah, Bad Boys is before.
So star on the rise, and he has arrived here. The movie is made on a budget of $75 million. It earns $817.4 million at the box office.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really big.
Yeah.
Not a small deal. So good on you, Will Smith. You have arrived apparently too good for Independence Day 2.
That's really disheartening.
I got to interview Will Smith. I've interviewed him twice
yes.
for my day job at MTV.
Yeah.
I attended the film junket for After Earth,
okay.
which is the M. Night Shyamalan movie he was in with Jaden Smith, his son.
Right.
They had the film junket out at the Virgin Galactic space shuttle nonsense thing in the middle of New Mexico. I got flown out there. It was pretty cool. The movie was not very good, but you could tell that Sony was really invested in people wanting to have a good experience, so they sent us out there, even though this place has nothing to do with the movie whatsoever.
Right, right.
But it was on my list of questions. I wanted to ask Will Smith, when is Independence Day 2 happening? This movie has been discussed. We know that a sequel is going to happen eventually. Roland Emmerich, the director, has been vocal about wanting to do it and wanting you involved. And he seemed game at the time. And Jaden Smith was like, wait, what's this? People want you to do Independence Day 2? They want you to be in it? I want to be in the movie. I want to be in the movie too.
No.
And Will Smith said something like, ah, we'll see, we'll see. You know, it keeps coming up and yada, yada, yada. And it never happened. I guess throughout the development of Independence Day 2, there were two scripts is what I know. There are two scripts, one that existed with Steve Hiller still in it, one that does not have him in the movie. And the movie that we will see will be the one without Will Smith.
That's weak.
I believe it's because he had a really bad experience making After Earth, and the reception After Earth, and After Earth made like $3.
It
made
$3. Can we just take a moment to understand that apparently Brent Spiner is supposed to be in Independence Day 2?
All right. Well, let's.
I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead.
No. Listen, we are unstuck in time. There is no skipping ahead.
But when dead people come to the sequel.
Let's discuss. Let's take it one step at a time. Brent Spiner, Data from Star Trek. Emily Fox, big Star Trek: The Next Generation fan.
Hell yeah,
big fan. You dressed up as Captain Picard one year for.
I didn't dress
Halloween.
Up as Captain.
Oh, you
Picard.
Were just Starfleet.
I was just a captain. Why do I have to be a dude? Why you got to put that on me?
I don't know. I just always pictured you in a bald cap for this for some reason. I'm not even kidding. Like, I always thought that you were Captain Picard.
Honestly, fair enough. No, I just had
seems like something you would do.
I had all the gear, but I was a woman.
You had all the gear, but you were a woman. How old were you when you were a Starfleet captain?
Oh, I was probably about 9.
Yeah, so you love Star Trek The Next Generation. You love Data. You love Brent Spiner, who plays Data.
Yes.
And in this movie, he is Dr. Brackish Oaken, who is the Area 51 scientist with the
horrible name.
Terrible name. But he's kind of a terrible guy. You know, he's so excited about aliens, and he's like, oh, the past couple of days, the ship has been doing such cool stuff, and it's so great. Meanwhile, millions of people are getting killed streets, and he doesn't seem to give much of a shit. But he gets his. He gets presumably killed in this scene, this iconic scene.
And his photo shows up on our wedding website.
I know, that's right. We had our wedding website, and the alien wrapping its tendril around Brent Spiner's throat and pushing him up against the glass and saying, release me!
Was one of our
photos in our slideshow. Yeah. You can tell we took things very seriously.
We did.
It was a very serious affair.
It was a cry for help about me making a wedding website because I really didn't want to have to do it.
I thought that was going to take much darker ending.
No, not about you and I. It was about me hating the horribleness.
Sure, fair enough.
Of wedding planning.
Good save. But you and I love that scene. You especially love that scene. Can you talk a little bit about why you love the Brent Spiner scene where he is finally getting mind controlled by the little mini alien inside the larger alien creature?
Well, I came to this realization, I would say approximately 6 years ago when we adopted two cats together, and one of which, she is very small. She weighs about 6 pounds and her name is Bella.
Bella.
And she has a really beautiful face and interesting markings and sort of an exotic look to her. And she,
if you follow Emily on Instagram, you can see this cat very frequently.
Yeah.
At Emilet on Instagram.
Yeah, and the hashtag is mini cat moments. But the takeaway is that she resembles the alien that attacks Brent Spiner in this situation.
That alien does look a little cat-like. It's got like the big eyes.
Yeah, it has sort of like the almond-shaped eyes and sort of like an evil look to it, which Bella has on a regular basis, even though she's a very happy cat.
Yeah, but Bella has a little bit of an evil look, and this alien looks very evil as well.
Yeah.
And it can read your mind, and we kind of think that Bella can read our minds a little bit.
Absolutely.
But you do, every once in a while, you'll just very creepily sneak up to me and say, release me.
I do that, yes.
It is creepy. But yeah, Brent Spiner, he's going to be back. He'll be back in Independence Day 2.
Yeah.
Which we should stop calling Independence Day 2. It has a name, you know. It's Independence Day Resurgence.
Okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
The ship falls at the end, just one of the many, many saucers sent to Earth. And it's sort of like
multiple saucers.
Yeah, it's sort of like kind of on fire in a corner. So, like, did they just not kill off all the aliens that were inside the ship?
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out in a year.
Because that's what I was sort of thinking while I was watching this, was like, you know, you guys are celebrating and everything's great and you're smoking cigars and it's sort of the credits are coming up. And then there are these weird sort of shapes in the air where it's like, oh, it looks like fireworks, right. But it's really debris falling from the sky.
It's beautiful debris.
are we kind of like picking up where we left off? We're like, oh, great job stopping them, but they have other technology and they're probably all not dead.
Well, this is the official premise according to Independence Day Resurgence on Wikipedia. 20 years after the events of the first film, the international community recovers and builds up Earth's defenses using technology salvaged from remains of the alien forces. However, the aliens were able to send a distress signal before their final defeat, which results in a new task force of alien ships coming to Earth and threatening the human race once more.
All right.
So, sounds like that's going to happen. I'm not going to get mad at Will Smith or Jeff Goldblum or Bill Pullman for enjoying some cigars. Those guys did their job and then some. You know, they could hire the cleanup crew to go in and salvage the dead alien bodies and take care of the ones that aren't dead.
What cleanup crew? Everyone died.
Not everyone's dead.
Cleanup crew.
No, there's plenty of people still alive on Earth, I think. They took care of the aliens, and they're repopulating the Earth. 20 years later, we're doing fine, and then it's all going to happen again.
Okay.
I would like Independence Day 2 more if more aliens came to Earth, and like our instant response was just like we had all of this anti-alien artillery, and we just started attacking them before they could get a shot off, and it turns out that they are like, these are the friendly aliens. Like, hey, Earth, oh man, we've been trying to get here for so long. And then it's like, oh, we got the wrong aliens. We thought that you were like those guys. That really sucked. And then we have to deal with the deep, deep guilt and international shame of wiping out an alien species.
Well, they didn't send the entire species over to Earth.
Well, the new aliens did. The friendly aliens, we wiped them out. In my sequel, in Independence Day, Wiggler Resurgence.
That might happen in America. It wouldn't happen in other countries necessarily. Yeah.
Well, who knows? I mean, listen, in this movie, President Whitmore, Bill Pullman's character, it seems like he is the leader of the world.
Yeah.
Everybody is following this dude's lead. And how could you not? How could you not? We started this podcast with the iconic speech that he gives, the big, we're going to live on, we're going to survive, we will not go quietly into the night. One of the most fantastic presidential speeches of all time. I would say it's that, Gettysburg Address, Nixon resignation, I think are the top three. It's fantastic. Everybody is listening. Everyone's having a great time. They follow his orders to the letter. For all intents and purposes, this guy seems to be the king of the world.
Here's the real question. For every other country in the world, were they like, this was a horrible Tuesday?
like just business
like,
as usual?
Man, this was a bad Tuesday. Because July 4th doesn't ring the same way to the rest of the world.
But now it's an international Independence Day. He declares an international holiday of Independence Day in this movie. So 20 years later, you got to think it's going to be the 20-year anniversary of new Independence Day.
Do you think the United Nations were just like, I wish we could have like talked about
this? Yeah, you know, there's actually some paperwork that's involved, and it's not like you could just say that.
Yeah.
Plus, you're probably not going to get reelected. People didn't really like you before all these alien things happened. You were kind of rating pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, and not to like cross like the streams too much, but like
cross away.
If you think about like Armageddon, it was a little bit more world centric when they put that movie together. It shows like all these different countries and everybody trying to figure it out because it's like an asteroid coming towards them. In Independence Day, it is like all Bill Pullman just like making these decisions.
It's not a super international thing in Armageddon. I mean, Peter Stormare's character is like the crazy Russian in space, but that's basically it. That's really pretty much it.
That's the only difference.
Listen, I am going to back Independence Day every day of the week over Armageddon, which I enjoy. Armageddon.
Independence Day is definitely higher brow.
But
I will definitely get behind
even beyond all of that, we're down on Ben Affleck right now.
Oh.
It's a bad week for Ben Affleck. We're down on Ben Affleck right now.
Yikes.
But moving along, you know, I'm thinking about this, though. Like, what is going to be Bill Pullman's role in Independence Day 2? He's still going to be in the mix, but there's a different president in rotation. Obviously, it's 20 years later. Cella Ward is playing the president. What do you think? Your jaw just dropped as you realize
female
this.
President.
Female president.
Yeah.
Female president. It's actually a shame that they kill off his wife, the first lady. They kill off Marilyn Whitmore in the first Independence Day, played by Mary McDonnell, who is very famously a president in her own right on Battlestar Galactica.
That's right.
Has plenty of experience leading humanity through crises against invading forces, inhuman invading
but
forces.
That pesky internal bleeding. That'll get you every time.
I hate that internal bleeding. I hate the internal bleeding. It's the worst. If she was still alive, though, she would be a great president. That would be like an interesting Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton parallel would be kind of fun. She could be like the Hillary Clinton of Independence Day, too.
She could.
We may have just lost like 90% of our listeners who aren't fans of Hillary Clinton.
That's not, you're not saying it either way.
No value judgment either way. But I think that it would be an interesting historical thing. But she's dead. But so is Brent Spiner. We didn't even get to finishing this conversation. Brent Spiner, he is choked to death by this telepathic alien that looks like our cat. And he seems to be dead. He's on the ground. Adam Baldwin goes up to him and checks for a pulse. And he never says, like, he's dead or anything like
That's true. It's very open-ended.
It's not super open-ended. I mean, he does have, like, dead face going on. Brent Spiner has hard dead face going on. He's got, like, the tongue half hanging out. His eyes are wide open. He's looking pale. But he, you know, he could just be like, oh my god, I'm tripping so hard from just being telepathically invaded by an alien. Oh my god. It's very possible.
Do you think anyone's listening right now that's like, I haven't seen this movie? Holy spoilers.
Should we have initiated a spoiler alert at the start of this movie?
You're jumping all over the place.
Spoiler alert. This is your spoiler alert for Independence Day.
David, take three drinks.
This is your spoiler alert for a movie that came out 19 years ago.
You would never be here without my David.
You would never be here without my David. Do you like Judd Hirsch in this as David's father?
Of course I do.
As Julius Levinson.
I love him.
Yeah.
He's great.
He lost his faith, but then he gets it back.
I thought you were going to say he lost his face, and I was going to be like,
His face is fine. His face is fine. Judd Hirsch, I do believe, is going to be in Independence Day 2.
Really?
So that's nice. 20 years later,
How old is he?
He is 80 years old.
Okay.
So he was only like 60 years old when Independence Day came out.
Okay, I guess that's not believable. Bad.
But it's nice to know that he is going to still be kicking here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty good. He's a good character.
He's iconic.
You feel like he could be expendable in Independence Day 2. Like, in the sense that, like, you gotta kill some people that you love to get the audience really invested.
No, he'll probably, like, die in a chair after he plays one more game of chess with David.
That's very poetic.
Yeah.
I like that.
I bet you that's what happens.
One person who, unfortunately, will not be returning is James Rebhorn, the late James Rebhorn, a phenomenal actor from many things. He was Carrie's father on Homeland in one of his more recent appearances. He was terrific in Meet the Parents. He's very funny. He's the guy who says Panama Red. He calls Ben Stiller Panama Red, and that's one of my favorite things. He's been in so many things, and in this, he is one of my favorite characters in Independence Day. Albert Nimzicki, Secretary of Defense. Mr. Nimzicki, you're fired. And unfortunately, you will not be getting rehired for Independence Day.
And then Robert Loggia just looks at him, and he's like...
You love Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia.
Yeah, your mother's right. No, poor James Rebhorn, he died in 2014, a little more than a year ago. He had cancer.
Wow.
That was very sad. He's a great character. He's such a worm in Independence Day. I love the whole fact that he's the only one who knows about Area 51. There is no Area 51, David's dad. I promise you, it's not here. Mr. President, not entirely accurate.
Yeah.
What a loser. But he was fantastic as such a loser.
No, those are the people that you love to hate.
Yeah.
It's good writing.
Yeah.
Good cast.
It was great. He's like this movie's equivalent of the lawyer from Jurassic Park, except he doesn't get to get eaten while taking a dump, which is a spoiler for Jurassic Park. But you feel like he deserved like a Donald Gennaro type of death. Like you feel like one of these aliens should have just like eaten him while he was taking a dump.
No, you know.
I don't know what that says about
the hardest. No, he just has to live with the fact that he's fired and he survived this horrible tragedy.
Right. So he will not be. He will not be.
And he
back.
Probably left everyone behind that died in his family because they all lived in like the D.C. area.
Right. Right. For less grim reasons, in real life, Randy Quaid, who is still alive as of this recording, will not be returning. Russell Case, who is the pilot, who is down on his luck. He is having a hard time. He's an alcoholic. He's got three kids who don't seem to enjoy him very much. And
Improperly crop dusting.
Yes, he is properly crop dusting. No, he is properly crop dusting, if you know what I mean. Probably everywhere. Certainly all over the bar and certainly all over his way to his final destination when he brings down the spaceship. Russell Case, great character. I'm a fly. I'm a pilot. I like him. He is one of my favorites. He dies in Independence Day, so I don't expect that we will see him. There's no ambiguous death for Russell Case.
What if he got beamed up in the last second?
Oh, and he got, like, teleported across the far reaches of the galaxy?
No, he got beamed up back into the alien spaceship.
Well, then he's
more tests.
Then he's straight up dead because that alien spaceship exploded immediately afterwards.
But no, it wasn't really
exploded. Yeah, no, then it crashed really hard, and I'm sure no tests are being run. They are all either prisoners or hiding now.
But their technology was so much more advanced than ours.
No, he's dead. He's gone.
Okay.
He's gone.
What if they beamed everybody out, like in Star Trek Next Generation?
Can we talk more about Jeff Goldblum? Can we talk more about David? David, you'd all be dead now if it wasn't for my David.
I would talk about him all day.
You love this character.
Yes.
Talk about him all day, right?
He's just like sitting there with algorithms, like printing out on like one of those like hilarious old printers.
I gave it a cold. I gave it a virus.
You're obsessed with fat ladies. Stop talking about
the fat lady. He had a great line that you really enjoyed. You made sure that I was listening. Do you remember what that was as he's on his way up to space with Will Smith? He's like the oops, oops, enough with the oops.
Yeah.
Enough with the oops. No, he's just classic Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
This is a great Jeff Goldblum role.
That's the best part about it.
And your mother loves him.
I love him too.
Well, tell me more about this. Why do you love him so much?
Because he has that good, keen sensibility. He's smart. He knows what he's talking about. And he's also got like a good look to him.
Yeah. It's mostly, like I said, it's the chesticle.
Smug.
It's the cleave.
It's the cleave.
It's the cleave. I'm looking at the cast list. This is disturbing. I'm looking at the cast list for Independence Day 2. And unfortunately, Margaret Collin as Constance Spano, White House communications director, and David's former wife, who he reconciles with in Independence Day by the end of the movie. She does not appear to be back for ID42.
That would be a poor choice. Although I will tell you, a huge, huge world tragedy will not save your marriage.
Why?
Because they still have issues at the end of the day.
Yeah, but love was never their issue.
I know, but that doesn't mean everything.
Ambition, and it was all about ambition. He just did the most ambitious thing in the world. He just destroyed all of the aliens.
Yeah, that's really sexy, but at the end of the day, you have to still go home and hang out with the guy, and maybe he still has all these insecurities, and he wants to punch the president again for thinking that she's having an affair with him.
So you think she's just out?
I think that she was probably disenchanted with his attitude because after you save the world, your ego probably gets a little bit bigger and you don't work on the things that made your marriage fail in the first place.
How do you think they're going to write out Will Smith? Because Vivica A is back.
What?
Vivica A is back. Jesse Usher is going to be playing the grown-up version of Dylan, who is Steve's stepson, Vivica A's son in the movie. He's one of the main characters in this one. So that whole storyline is still in it. The Hiller storyline is still in it. There's just no Will Smith.
What happened to Ross Badgley?
What do you mean?
That's the little boy in the first Independence Day, Baby Nicky from Fresh Prince.
They recast him.
Unbelievable!
And that's not all, Emily. They also recast Mae Whitman, who is a very accomplished actress in her own right. She is on Parenthood, or was on Parenthood, no longer on. She was Anne on Arrested Development. She has been in a lot of stuff, a very, very accomplished actress.
That's really,
really talented
awful.
Actress. She's the president's daughter. She will not be back either.
Why?
They recast her.
Why?
I don't know. There was a little bit of an uproar about this online when the casting was announced. Mae Whitman, who is active on social media and everything, I feel like it was Anna Kendrick who was the first to like sound the bullshit alarm. Like, this is bullshit.
Good for her.
How are you not casting Mae Whitman? I don't know. I think they have Maika Monroe is the name of the actress.
Oh, please. She looks nothing like her. Forget this.
I know.
This is dumb.
22-year-old Dylan, born Dylan Monroe Buckley. Maika Monroe is her screen name. Stage name. I don't know if it's her screen name. I'm sure
she's too young to have a screen name.
Do we even call them screen names anymore?
No, it's not.
They called them that back in 1996, but no. I guess they wanted to sex up the role a little bit.
This is everything that's wrong with the millennial movie makeover.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you right now, if you people are listening, that's wrong.
It's lame. It really is.
It is lame.
It would be really... I mean, look at Mae Whitman. She'd be great. She's 27.
She looks like she did as a child.
Yeah, she's...
Wow, that's really weird how she could grow up and be a woman, and, like, that would be continuity at its finest. Hello, Boyhood. Bring her back.
I know.
This is dumb.
It's stupid. It sucks.
I'm offended.
I know. I'm not thrilled about it either.
I know you don't make the decisions, but that makes me mad.
It's not my choice. Not my choice. If I had the decision-making power, she would be in the mix for this
for sure.
Yeah, it sucks. It's really stupid. So those two roles are recast. Let's stay on topic for this. How do you think they're going to explain Will Smith being gone? I have thoughts.
Okay, you go first.
He's in space.
Oh.
He's in space.
I like
that. That's what he wanted to do. At the start of the movie, you know, he had this whole application that he got denied on. He's been trying to get into space. He's been trying to fly space shuttles.
But does this mean that he and Vivica, like, broke up?
Well, no, not necessarily. If he's just on, like, space mission and he is away at the time that the aliens are coming, and then he's going to come back in, like, the Easter egg cameo at the very end of the movie, like a Marvel movie, and he's going to show up and he's going to be welcomed back to Earth, and that's going to be the lead into Independence Day 3 when he shows up and he saves
the day. Well, I respect that.
That'd be cool.
What do you think Vivica's doing now? Do you think she's like an ambassador?
I hope that she has a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Frankly, I hope she doesn't have a fantastic job. I hope that she is set up for life. I hope that
she doesn't have to work.
She doesn't have to work. Her family are legendary heroes. I hope that she is just allowed to do whatever the hell she wants. I hope that she doesn't have to be an exotic dancer anymore, unless she wants to. She seemed to like the work. If she's into it, that's totally one thing, but she should be set up for life. Her husband was a hero. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm upset. I want Will Smith to come back. I respect the understanding that times have changed. If he is in space or he's doing something really noble and awesome and he comes back at the end, that's awesome.
If he like died off screen, or if he got divorced and got drunk and is like in a motel somewhere, just like, you know, snorting rails and banging hookers, and he's just too out of shape to participate in the alien invasion.
You just painted the darkest.
Well, maybe that's what's going on.
I hate that.
Yeah, it would be terrible. I mean, that would suck. There has to be some heroic reason why he's not around.
Okay.
That's what has to happen here.
Sorry, you just bummed me out.
That's okay. Time. We have a new character. Liam Hemsworth is going to be in this. He's going to play a guy named Jake Morrison. How do you feel about that?
This is the other problem that's wrong with, like, the Millennium, like, movie.
We're picking the wrong Hemsworth brother. That's the problem.
It's not even that.
But it is that.
No, we're picking people that are too beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't the people that save the world.
I don't feel like he's too beautiful.
I think he's really good looking.
I get into fights about this. Who do you pick, Liam Hemsworth or Chris Hemsworth?
Okay, so my thoughts have changed a little bit because Chris Hemsworth has, you know, fixed his hair a little bit.
So elaborate. What does that mean?
I always thought Liam was better looking and that Chris just looked a little bit clunkier.
It baffles
me. Cut his hair.
Baffles
me. He looks better.
And apparently I'm in a minority on this. I think Chris Hemsworth is lights out hotter than Liam Hemsworth every day of the week. But what do I know? Everyone, like, I've talked to you, I've talked to many of my female friends about this, and all of you say Liam Hemsworth. I don't get it.
But, I don't know. Chris Hemsworth looks better now, I think.
What do you think the Whitmores are going to be doing? He's not President Thomas Whitmore anymore. I would make this guy king of the world. I really would. I think that, like, I would overhaul the entire system. After that speech he gave, I would just put Thomas J. Whitmore in charge of the planet Earth.
No,
Whitmore.
He signed on to a speaker agency.
King Pullman!
No, he's doing speaker bureau deals.
At least they didn't recast him.
Speaker.
At least they didn't recast him. They could have recast him with Bill Paxton. That would have really effed with everybody.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
No, it would have been awful. But it would have been great.
It would have satisfied a lifetime of confusing their two names.
No, bring Bill Paxton in.
Thank you.
Bring Bill Paxton in as his brother.
Oh,
Gary Whitmore.
It could be like a Bush, like,
yes,
you know,
Jeb Whitmore.
Jeb.
That's
Whitmore.
What Thomas J. Whitmore. Thomas
with
Jeb
an
Whitmore.
Exclamation mark.
And
after
he's
it.
Jeb T. Whitmore.
Yes.
Bring Bill Paxton in. This podcast has turned into us pitching Independence Day too. Kind of like it.
Yeah.
What do you think the world looks like 20 years after Independence Day? We know aliens exist. Aliens exist. Monuments are gone. White House is destroyed. The Twin Towers are only half gone in the world of Independence Day. They're not like complete. You know, 9/11 is not going to be the same incident if something like that happens in the world of Independence Day. What does the world of Independence Day look like 20 years after Independence Day? Like, is the nation's capital still Washington, D.C.? Did we just recreate the White House? Did we build a new White House? Did we build the White House somewhere else? We relocated.
The White House already had a fire, like, way back in history, so you got to rebuild it.
Well, you got to rebuild it, but do you rebuild it in D.C., or do you move elsewhere? Like, is there a new D.C.? Is Washington, D.C. now a floating continent so that it can go off and it can hide when the aliens come back and you can't target them very specifically and it's a spaceship?
The only thing I'm certain of is that in 20 years later from this time, is that there's Twitter, there's Facebook, there are all these different social media platforms. And for the most part, the computers are thinner.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I mean, the boxes that they were working with where they're like, we got to put in this really important computer virus, and then they're typing away and things are loading so slowly.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how much faster it would be now.
Do you want to have some good news on the casting front?
Sure.
There's going to be a character in Independence Day Resurgence named Agent Travis. He is played by Benga Akinabe, who is Chris Partlow from The Wire. Chris Partlow from The Wire. Emily loves The Wire.
Yeah.
No Wire spoilers for people who don't know The Wire. But if you like The Wire, Chris Partlow from The Wire is going to be in Independence Day 2.
I will not ruin The Wire for you fine people, but let me tell you, I am one of those people that was like, why are we talking about this? This is one of those shows that everyone tells me I need to watch.
There are rumors. There's boring. There are whispers. There are whispers that Mike Bloom and Antonio Mazzaro are working on some sort of Wire rewatch here for post-show recaps.
Really?
You'll listen along to that.
Can I be a part of it?
Ask them. You know Antonio. You know Mike. Knock on their door.
How my hair look, man?
How my hair look? You look good, girl. So that's cool. That's good news, right?
Yes.
That's good news. Who else is not coming back? No word on Robert Loggia. He's 85.
He is kind of old.
But Judd Hirsch is 80, so you can't really use that as an excuse. He's not coming back. Vivica A. I hope Vivica A is just like a super badass in this, though.
I know.
I hope she's a super badass.
She already was a super badass.
Those are really the main people. And Roland Emmerich, who directed the first one,
is he related to Noah Emmerich?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
Our old neighbor, Noah Emmerich?
I don't think he is. So this will be out. It's coming out June 24, Independence Day 2, 2016. Looking forward to that.
What's your takeaway from rewatching Independence Day tonight? Do you feel more patriotic than you normally would have? Do you feel like you have a newfound respect for monuments that were destroyed? Do you have an understanding of what it's like to be a fighter pilot, especially in the 90s?
No. I played Star Fox in the 90s. I don't know if that counts.
Sick.
Yeah. Star Fox 64 was pretty good. Not as good as the Super Nintendo original.
Okay.
No, I love this movie. This movie is great. This is one of those movies that anytime it's on TV, I will, like, unless there's something more pressing to watch,
right,
it's just a stopover. I'll happily just land on it. I mean, this is probably the first time you and I have sat down and watched it all the way through in a long time. Not ever. We've done it before, I'm sure.
Yeah, we have.
But it's not like a Cruel Intentions where we have a ritual where if we move somewhere, we break out the DVD player and watch Cruel Intentions.
Right.
We don't have a ritual with Independence Day. It's not every 4th of July weekend we watch Independence Day.
Maybe it should be.
It's terrific. It holds up really well. The characters are really well drawn out. There's, you know, the details about them are fairly scarce. Like, all you know about the relationship between Whitmore and David is that they had a fist fight back in the day because David was jealous
Which
of his wife
so
at the time.
Badass.
It's great. No, it's a really good detail. There's just, like, little things like that. The fact that Judd Hirsch is smoking cigars and Dave is like, don't do that, don't do that. And he gives his last two cigars to Will Smith and David before they go off to upload the virus to the mothership. It's great. There's just lots of really great little details. It's a clever movie. It is cheesy. You said before it's not very cheesy. It's cheesy. It's a cheesy movie. But it's a very fun type of cheese.
I respect it, though.
I do, too.
Because it really was sort of groundbreaking at the time.
It was groundbreaking at the time. Lots of nostalgia for the movie. I remember having in the lead up to that summer of 1996 before the movie came out, I had like this booklet that had like behind the scenes production details on the making of the movie. It had character profiles for all of the different characters.
Wow, you were cool.
Hey, come on, be nice.
No, I'm just saying. I would have liked one of those.
Ow. But I didn't hit her. I stepped on her foot, by the way.
Sorry.
It's an accidental step on the foot. Now that was on purpose.
Damn it.
I had this that I was reading about, and I was really excited about it. And I was, even before the movie came out, I was just invested in the characters from reading like these little descriptions of it. So I was really kind of super into it around the time that it came out, and I saw it and it didn't disappoint, and it holds up really well now. It always puts a big smile on my face when we watch the movie.
Same with me.
All right. So you guys are listening to this. It's 4th of July weekend as you are listening to this. Emily, do we have any big plans?
No, we're going to grill. We're going to relax. We are going
to see some fireworks.
Yeah. We're pretty close to the waterfront, so we can just walk down
in New York
to the
City.
Park.
Yeah. So if you are listening to this and 4th of July hasn't happened yet and you're in New York City, walk along the waterfront in Brooklyn. Maybe you'll just randomly find us. It's possible.
We might be a little lazy and not do it.
It's also possible that we will not go out. We tend to be pretty lazy for 4th of July. people clear out of New York. It's like an alien ship has come to New York and people flee New York to go to Long Island, to the Hamptons, to go upstate. You and I stay put.
Yeah, it's the best time.
It's great. No one's here. It's awesome.
No one's here.
It's a very good time. Very good time to visit New York if you want to get into places that seem like they are too popular or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, Emily, I think that's good. How do you feel? Anything we didn't get to talk about from Independence Day that you're really itching to get off your chest?
There was a Fruitopia vending machine in one of the first scenes where David's like drinking or like trying to recycle a Coke. And I just like had a really good nostalgic moment for that.
For the Fruitopia vending machine?
Yeah. Do you remember those Fruitopia cans? Like they were like delicious fruit drinks.
Not really.
Well, think about it.
All right, I'll think about
it. It's worth looking up.
All right, if you guys remember the Fruitopia vending machine, that's going to be the hashtag for this episode of Date Night. Tweet that our way. Hashtag Fruitopia vending machine to Emily. She's
just hashtag Fruitopia. Maybe we can bring
No, that's going to be taken. Hashtag Fruitopia vending machine. We will start that hashtag. Tweet it our way. Emily, what's your Twitter handle?
Emlet.
At Emlet.
Like an omelet, but an Emlet.
But an Emlet. And I'm at Round Howard. Like Round Howard. But a little bit rounder. And that's going to be it. We're back. Date night. Back in the groove. We'll stop short of promising a date on the Fear podcast. But that's up next. We can guarantee that much. We will be back with a podcast about fear. Very pumped about that.
A nice romantic thriller.
It's going to be really, really good. Emily and I, again, we adore that movie so much. And we adore Independence Day 2. We don't know if we adore Independence Day 2 yet.
Yeah. But
we adore Independence Day as well as Fear. And perhaps one day we will adore Independence Day, too. What's your prediction? You think it's going to be any good?
I am cautiously optimistic.
I'm going to be negative, Nancy, and say it's not going to be very good. How do you think it's going to do? Do you think it's going to do well financially?
Not the way that Independence Day originally did.
Well, do you think it's going to be like a Jurassic World where Jurassic Park nostalgia is at such a fever pitch that Jurassic World becomes the biggest movie opening weekend of all time?
I mean, it's a brilliant formula.
It's not going to be the biggest opening weekend of all time.
No, it won't ever be that.
But it could make some big money.
But you're preying on people's nostalgia.
Yeah, well... Are you accusing me or just the royal you?
The royal you.
The royal you. And the
it's
royal me as
smart.
Well.
Smart. I mean, what's the next one we do?
I don't know.
What's the next?
Don't put any ideas out into the ether.
Keep
I'm
going.
Done with this. I'm
I
done.
I can't stop.
I'm done with that.
I
I'm
can't
done with
stop.
That. All right. So happy 4th of July weekend.
Happy 4th of July.
To all you Americans out there listening to this. And for those of you who are not in America but are listening
happy
to this.
Happy Saturday.
Happy International Independence Day as declared by President Whitmore. Until next time, we will see you again for date night number 3 on Post Show Recaps. Emily Fox, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, take care, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. Slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Lock it in, uniform and footprint.